Good morning. I'm glad you're talking to me this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But it's good to see you all this morning. I'm counting on your hearts being ready because I think we had an awesome time of worship. Amen? And because, like I said last week, when you're ready for the Word of God, I believe that the Word of God can challenge you and it can change you this morning. And if you came in here in any way thinking that there might just possibly be even a little smidgen of a place in your life where you need change, it can happen this morning. Amen? Okay. You know, I'm kind of torn here this morning. Torn between preaching what I've had ready for 2 weeks or preaching what's being impressed on me. And you know which way I'm going to go. So I would imagine there's two schools of thought this morning. There's one school that's saying, oh good, he's just going to preach from his heart. And the other ones are going, oh no, not again. Listen, the most important thing for me to do is to give you what I think the Holy Spirit has given me for you to hear. But I'm not going to leave this part of the service out. Would you stand with me, please, as we declare what we believe about the Word of God this morning? So grab your Bible. Raise it up towards heaven. Don't care if you're a lefty or a righty, okay? And repeat with me. Ready?
Ready.
All right. Scream. No, I better not. Very loudly say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I think What I want you to remember this morning is that the Word of God is terribly powerful. Amen?
Amen?
And it works in people's lives, but some people's lives it doesn't work in. Why does that happen? Because you have to heed the Word when you hear it. All right? Come on. Are you there?
Yes.
You have to heed the Word. You have to do what the Word says, not just hear what the Word says. Hearing what the Word says increases your faith. Amen. I think I read that somewhere. But as far as the rest of it goes, in order for it to take effect in your life, you have to open the door. Okay? How many of you would like to open the door this morning? Amen? Why don't you raise your hand? I got three. I got five. All right. Okay. If you're a visitor with us this morning, I'm not normally this weird. I might be. All right. I think the Lord has been impressing on me 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul begins the letter, or this part of the letter. He says, I, Paul, myself, beseech you, okay? In other words, he wants you to hear what he's going to say. And then down in the second verse, it says, but I beseech you. He really wants you to hear what he's going to say. And that's, I've got my King James here today, and that's what I like. I don't care what you like. No, I don't mean I don't care. It doesn't matter what you like. Okay. No, I don't mean it doesn't matter what you like. Read what Bible you want, okay? Okay. All right. But he wants us to hear what he's going to say, okay? And he says this in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Do you know what that means? As a Christian, you know, we're still in the flesh. We still have this flesh and blood that we have, okay? Our spirit inside us has been awakened, suddenly understands that it's going to go somewhere after this is all done, and that maybe we should do something about that and secure our eternity. But we still have this flesh and blood. And the Bible says, though we have that, though we walk in that, it says, we do not war after the flesh. And the next words really explain what this is saying. How many of you go through battles? Yeah. I mean, we have battles. It's really hard to believe that we have battles with the people we love. We have battles with our husbands, battles with our wives, right? Battles with our boyfriends, battles with our girlfriends. Sometimes we don't always agree, which is okay. We have battles in finances, amen? Oh, come on, amen? We have battles, you know, physically, there's no doubt about that. We go through things. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we aren't going to go through things, okay? And I'm sorry, but I'm a Christian in the last couple of years. I've been through some things, okay? Okay. So we battle and we war and we fight, and probably two of the largest areas that we fight in is the flesh, all right? We fight our flesh. Our flesh wants to be pleased, and usually, in fact, always, the Bible says that the flesh is contrary to what God wants. Amen? But it says this, the Bible says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We are going to battle, right? I mean, why would it say that? For the weapons of our warfare. If we didn't need weapons for warfare, that would mean that we didn't battle. But we're going to battle. We're going to battle with the pastor on Sunday mornings. We're going to battle with our brothers and sisters. We're going to battle with many things. I mentioned a bunch of them right now, just now, I mean. But the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So that means, unless you're praising God, you can't shout it out. Come on. You can't buy it out and make it better. You can't talk it out and make it better. Although psychology, which is really something, and don't get me into that. Don't ask me about that, okay? Psychology would say you got to talk it out. You know, sometimes when you talk things out, they get worse. Like offense that we've been talking about. Not offense, offense. When you talk about your offense, it doesn't get better. You get bitter because it just grows. And it grows and you're justified. But let me tell you this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through who? God. Through God. So that tells me somewhere in here, I'm going to find out what those weapons are and how I can win. And I know one thing. If I'm going to wield some weapons, I want to win. Amen? Come on. If I'm going to battle, I want to come out on top. If I'm going to fight, I'm going to be the winner. Amen? Who fights to lose? I mean, and sometimes that's what really blows me away about people that claim to be Christian, and that is, and I don't want to judge anybody this morning, but that is this. It blows me away that they do nothing. Say nothing. They do nothing to bolster themselves up in the Lord. They don't read the Bible. When's the last time you read the Bible there? Well, I think I read it a few weeks ago. I try to pick it up every month or so. If you knew, say if I knew, if you knew that this word was going to save your life, come on. If you knew that what's in this word was going to save your life, and it will, then why don't we study it? Then why don't we know what it is? And why don't we memorize it? Why do we set it aside? And why do we always say I don't like to read? Well, you know, then start liking to read. Or if you really hate reading, then listen to it. But get the word of God in your life, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. Okay? They're not carnal. You can't get a gun. Hello. You can't wrestle it other than wrestling with the principalities of darkness. Are you with me this morning so far? We fight. The Bible says you're going to fight. You're going to battle. You know, sometimes we wonder why in the world we're going through certain things. Why in the world has this come upon me, you know? But the Bible says be ready for that because it's going to come, okay? But I want you to know this morning, the Bible never says that you're going to lose. Come on. The Bible never says that you're going to lose. The Bible gives you every tool that you need to win. And I guess that's what I want to try to get across to you this morning, okay? Is our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And then it says this, to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold in your heart or in your mind is something that the enemy has built and he can hide behind and attack you from, okay? And as long as you allow that stronghold to be in your mind, or yeah, in your mind or in your heart, and you don't tear it down, he's going to do that. It's just like a sniper, you know? It's like somebody is attacking you, but you just don't know where from. But, you know, the Bible says to each one of us, there's a sin that so easily besets us. There's something, Gary, that gets you every time. You know, there's something, I won't say Serena. There's something, Leslie, that gets you every time. But the Bible goes on to say, actually it says it before it mentions it, but lay aside the sin that so easily besets you, okay? Lay it aside. Well, you know, that's hard. I know it's hard. War is hard. Come on. Battle is hard. You know, when we go through things, it is hard. It makes us turn out better, hopefully. But I want you to hear me this morning, okay? We're going to battle. You're not going to get out of it. There is a great teaching around that says that, boy, Paul wouldn't have had to go through all he went through if he just wouldn't have known what to confess. Sorry. The truth is, we're going to battle. And the Bible says that we can pull down those strongholds, those places that the enemy hides in our heart and shoots at us and hits us every time. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of them hitting me in that certain time, that sin that so easily besets me. But what is so strange about that is, you know, you can try as hard as you want because it isn't in your trying that it's going to be won. It's in your yielding to what it says in the Word of God. It's in your yielding to what God has said to you in your heart. Are you with me this morning? And again, you've got to heed what you hear. You can't just hear it and go on, you know. Those strongholds, you know, they can be big, they can be small. But there's one thing for sure about the strongholds the enemy builds is they're hidden. They're hard to see. And they're especially hard. Do you know how when you have dogs, you can become nose blind? Or cats, especially cats, you can become nose blind. Well, you can become spiritually blind to what the enemy has that he's holding on to inside of you. Amen? But the Bible goes on in verse 5, casting down imaginations. You know, that's one of the biggest things we have a problem with, imaginations. Sometimes, and we've been talking about this, sometimes we think people say some things that they mean and that they're just trying to get you, you know, and they don't mean that at all. You've just imagined it. Sometimes you begin to think about where you have to go and what you need to do, and you think about, well, what if I run into so-and-so? What if I see so-and-so? And you get all tore up and ripped up and you're in anxiety, and you've just imagined that. It hasn't happened. And chances are, I think the statistic for the things that you worry about is 2% of the things that you worry about ever come to pass. So those things that you're so scared about, that you worry about, they're probably not going to happen anyway, okay? Statistics are good for some things, okay? But if we could just, like the Bible says here, cast down our imaginations, and then it kind of describes that. It says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There's things within you that don't believe that God is who he says he is. I didn't think anybody raised their hand. You see, it's hard for someone that has a sickness to believe in healing. All right? It is. It's hard for someone who is broke to believe that God wants you to prosper, that God wants you to tithe, that God wants you to continue to give. It's hard for someone to believe when they're going through a battle that every battle that they go through Even, and see, the Bible doesn't differentiate between the battles that you cause and the battles that the enemy causes. Okay? I think many times the enemy doesn't have as much power in our life that we give him. I think he's an excellent seed planter, and we're just excellent farmers. Okay? And he'll plant seeds in our mind, imaginations in our mind, things in our mind, and we just think about them too much. And they manifest because we think about them. Not because we have power to manifest those things, but because we've been thinking about them, the imaginations just continue to grow. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The world exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, anytime you don't believe what you read in the Word, that's something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I love this part. And bringing into captivity every what? What's that? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that you have. Well, you know, what about the guy that struggles with lust? Can he bring that to Jesus? Absolutely. What about the woman that struggles with, let's say, gossip? That's terrible that I use women for that, isn't it? What about men and women that struggle with gossip? Can they take that to Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. What about this? I battle every Sunday morning to come to church. I struggle every Sunday morning to get out of bed, although I know it's the best thing for me. And I know that it's the best thing I could do is to get involved and to begin to minister out of what God has given me. But it's a battle for you, a battle for you to get up and come here. Can you bring that to Jesus? Can you admit to him that I don't want to go to church today? I hope so. Okay. I usually want to go to church, okay? I think sometimes that we as Christians, we think that we're going to get smooth sailing, and we think that especially that we're going to get smooth sailing if we've done everything right. There's no guarantee of that. Okay? There's just no guarantee of that. Although I would do everything you know to do right. My wife says something, and I neglected to say this a little earlier. We fight against ourselves and we fight against Satan, okay? And Serena says so often that, you know, if it's come into your life and it doesn't make any sense. Have you ever had something come into your life, a battle that's come into your life, and it just makes no sense? You haven't done anything you didn't sow it, you shouldn't reap it, amen? And it just blindsides you out of nowhere. And she says, you know, if anything comes into your life like that, you can bet on one thing, it's probably the devil. Amen? Amen. Right. Amen. Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, okay? So what are the weapons of the devil? No, that was mean. They aren't carnal either. That's why ours aren't carnal. Okay? Because he fights you spiritually. What do you mean he fights me spiritually? He fights you with discouragement. Well, that's nothing. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. He fights you with discouragement. He fights you with being broke. Unless you've gone and spent all your money on stupid things and then you only have yourself to blame. Okay? The enemy fights people on feeling like giving up, like they just don't want to go on. And it doesn't make any sense. Everything could be going fine in your life, and all of a sudden you can wake up one morning and not feel like going on, not feel like even taking the next step, not feeling like your marriage is worth it, your job is worth it, your friends are worth even knowing. And then especially thinking for some reason like you don't matter. I want you to know something this morning. You matter. You matter to God, but you matter to people. You might not think you matter to people, but you matter to people. And many times, though, the enemy will come at you and say, you know, you don't matter. If you did something right now to yourself, you know what? Nobody'd care. Nobody'd come to your funeral. That is not true. in those times that you get in the fights that they're just, you ever have like eternal fights? Where you're kind of fighting with, all right, let's say your mother-in-law or your father-in-law. And they just keep coming over and over. Maybe it's your wife, I've heard, not from experience. But you just have a fight, a battle that you do over and over and over again. Do you know why it happens over and over again? It happens over and over again because your flesh is too high. I can tell you that right now, because you want to win the battle of the flesh. Because if you're battling in the spirit or spiritually, you're not going to get that battle over and over and over again. Or when you do, you can just say, I dealt with that. And many times, when that same thing comes into your life, and it, you know, in my life, I'll just flat out say, listen, I dealt with that, and walk away. For though we walk after the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The grace of God is more than sufficient for Paul, right? Then it's more than sufficient for you and I. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Can you imagine? I shouldn't ask you to imagine when I'm telling you to cast them down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because all of a sudden now, you've become somebody who's going after God. Right? And it's like, just like people said, it's like a fish swimming upstream, you know? It isn't simple. It isn't easy. And maybe it should be. And if we did everything perfectly, probably it would be. And if we followed the Word of God to a T, it might be. But let's be honest this morning. We don't always do that. So, you know, if that's you this morning, if that's you and you're battling with something, and maybe it's one of those eternal battles that you're battling over and over and over again, and I would say probably out of all the people in this room, that affects everybody. Amen. But if you are at a place where you're in one of those eternal battles, it's time to do something different. Amen? Well, I do. I get mad. That's carnal. Okay. Well, I just scream the word of God at him. I don't know if that's quite it either. I would speak the word of God at your problem, but I don't know if I'd scream it. Do you understand what I mean? Okay. Let me just read that one more time to you again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. All the kicking and screaming that you do in the world, all the willful decisions that you make in the world. Listen, I want you to quit overeating. Oh, okay. I will not overeat. That doesn't work. You know, I want you to read the Word of God every day. Okay, that's it. I'm reading the Word of God every day. I've made the decision. How's that been working out for you? It's more than the decision that you make. You do have to make the decision, but you have to ask God to help you with the decision. Ask God to pour out His Spirit in your life, you know, and grab a hold of some of the weapons. What are some of the weapons? Some of the weapons of your warfare are things like prayer. Amen? Prayer, that thing that we hate to hear about, prayer, that thing that we do just when we have a moment extra. What would it be like in your life if it wasn't when you had a moment extra, but you made time for prayer? What if you said, okay, for the next 15 minutes, the next 20, the next half hour, whatever it is, I'm just going to concentrate on God. Do you think He might speak to you? I have a feeling. I have a knowledge that He will, okay? He will. One of the other weapons of our warfare is reading the Word of God. Again, but I don't like to read, Pastor Wes. Well, you know, then you better start liking to read, okay? That's all I can say. Or at least write a verse on a 3x5 card and pin it up and keep reading that verse every time you walk by it. Get the Word of God in you, no matter how simplistic it might seem. Get the Word in you. Can you imagine how much Word you would have inside of you if every month you would have pinned a 3x5 card on the wall and memorized what's on that card? Can you imagine the wealth of the amount of Scripture that you would have memorized by now? Yeah. But it's not too late. You know, it's not like you have to play catch-up. You don't. But you come back to the heeding part, okay? You do it. You do it. And I can't stress enough the reading of the Word of God. And I've said this 1,000 times. No, probably not 1,000. But an awful lot here. Is I think that is what's held me. And that is what's kept me. Because I love the Word of God. And because of that, I feel absolutely empty if I have a day that everything gets in the way. Amen. And there are days when everything gets in the way. But that has to be the exception and not the rule. You know? I get up terribly early. I shut my phone off because I have a second phone. Don't tell anybody, okay? And my family has my second phone number. So if there's an emergency, they can get a hold of me. And you might think, well, in your little church? It doesn't. I don't care if there's 5 people in the church or 5,000 people in the church. The one time that I think I was doing the series on the religious routine, okay, the power in a religious routine. I had mentioned that I get up at 4 o'clock. Lo and behold, this one individual started calling me at 4 o'clock. And I'm not going to tell somebody don't call me. Until they continue to call me and they don't have anything to say. You know, then I'd finally say, well, you know, do you think you'd feel this way at 6 o'clock? Why don't you call me at 6 o'clock instead, you know? But the weapons of our warfare that we have been given by God, and I could go to the armor of God, you know, and recite that to you. I could go through that, and you should know what that is. And you should, if you could, have that on a couple 3x5 cards and put that on every morning. You know, and just say it. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, you know? And go through the list. Because what it says in here, you know whose armor that is? It's God's armor. I think God's armor is enough, don't you? I would love to, and I do. I'm putting on God's armor every day. I think, doesn't matter what I think. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. No matter what's going on in your life, every stronghold, every single one, say every single one. Well, you mean we can go to God about being hooked on pornography? Well, he knows it anyway. So yeah, you can. Can't believe you said that today. And then bringing every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ, okay? So we bring all those thoughts, all those things that we don't want, and we bring them to the Lord, and we say, Jesus, here, I'm just doing what your word says. You know, I'm bringing them to you. Here you go. I don't want to think about it no more. You know, and sometimes in worship, all right, I don't know if I'm the strange duck in the whole crowd or anything, but there are times in worship when some of the most hideous thoughts can come to my mind. Right in the middle of worship. Am I alone? Or is there at least one person that can walk with me? Yeah, okay. All right. In fact, sometimes you'll see me up here worshiping like this, and I'm going like this. You know, but no, I'm not thinking that. I'm saying, Jesus, take that one. I don't want that one. But there's so many things like that that we learned to do when we were younger Christians, but we become mature Christians now, and in our maturity, we've gotten to the point where we've forsaken doing some of the one-on-one things that we know that we have to do, that we were surprised that we had to do when we came to the faith, and that we were taught that, you mean we got to read every day? Every day? Certainly you don't expect me to pray every day. And I'll close with this, and I've said this a few weeks ago. So many of us can't even imagine what it would be like to worship the Lord in your prayer closet, okay, instead of here at church. And there is a powerful, powerful part of worshiping with a, I'm going to use the word corporate, and half the people aren't going to like it, but in the corporate setting, with everybody. You know, it's powerful. It is powerful. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. When you are alone and you begin to worship like that, there is something powerful that will not happen to you when you're in the corporate setting. As what happens in the corporate setting will happen to you in the private setting. But you don't want either place. You shouldn't forsake it. And, you know, to me, the idea, years ago, the idea, 40 years ago, 40-some years ago, I learned that I should read, pray, and worship. And for those 40 years, I've known that. But unfortunately, for those 40 years, I haven't always practiced that. Okay? But I know it. But I'm a pastor, right? I'm also a man. You have got to understand that one of the things that the Lord has just been, you know, in my head has just been going, wow, 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 is you have to heed the word when you hear the word. Is that you have to do what it says, not just have knowledge of what it says. You can memorize every scripture in the world. See the reason to memorize the scripture on those 3x5 cards isn't so that you have a memory of that scripture as much as it is that you take advantage of that scripture. Amen? And you pray that scripture when the enemy comes at you with something that's just ridiculous. I hope you understand how important this is. Because this is like Christianity 101. This is like just the basics that all of us need to get through and to get by every day. You say this to people, you know, what, you didn't go to church this summer? Sure is a good thing God doesn't take off during the summer. But neither does the enemy. He doesn't take a day off. And whether he uses people or whether he uses himself or no matter what he uses, he could use a song that could bring a memory back to your mind that, amen? And next thing you know, you're 50 miles into someplace you shouldn't be going. And if there's ever a reason that you should listen to godly music, that's one of them. Okay? Okay. One more time. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It has nothing to do with it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's our power we have through him. And the power he has when he works it through us. Amen? Amen. And you probably should think of it the second way more, because there's no room for pride in that one. When it's the power that he works through us. Amen? Because we're just a vessel in that. Okay. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's their point. Get those strongholds out of there. Get them out of there. Get them out of there. Don't go on living with that same old stuff just tearing at your mind. I don't know if I'm the only one, but there's times when things tear at my mind, especially at night, and I can't go to sleep. Anybody walking with me on that one? You can't go to sleep, you know? Because your mind is just going and pouring over that, and then you get up the next morning and you go to the situation that you think you're going to encounter, that thing that you're worried about so much, and it doesn't even happen. And you go, well, praise God. And the thing of it is, we have to cast down imaginations and every, I love that word, say every. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It doesn't take a spiritual giant to know what exalts itself against the knowledge of God, especially in the world today. There's such a line drawn between what's good and what's evil. Amen? And bring those thoughts into captivity. That is, you know, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 has got to be one of the most foundational scriptures for you and I to stand on and to use, okay, when it comes to fighting the battles that we fight. And I know there's times when we go through our life and we don't go through a whole lot of battles, you know. But there's times in our lives when we just can't get over one battle and we're in another one, okay? That's happened to people for physical things, you know. It's happened in spiritual, it's happened in financial things. It's happened in emotional things. You just get broke up with one girlfriend or boyfriend and next thing you know, you find another one and you're breaking up again. And the fourth time you're breaking up, I'm going to slow this in. I used to work with a guy and he'd been married 5 times. He came up to me one day and said, Wes, he said, if I ever ask you to marry me and a girl sometime, he said, don't do it. He said, I'm beginning to think it's me. But there's some truth in that, and not even in marriage sense, is that you can't just sit and wait for things to happen, okay? You have to be a participant. You have to do whatever you can, meaning you have to heed the word and walk in the word and walk with Jesus. Amen? How many of you in here want to walk with Jesus? Amen? You want to walk with him in the morning, in the evening, during the day, all the time. Then what you really have to do is read so you know his word. Pray so you know him. Okay, worship so you can state where you stand. Amen? Are you with me? That's good. Why don't you bow your heads with me, please? Gary just reminded me of something that actually is foundational too that most Christians laugh at. And that would be number 4 is be at church every time the doors are open. You might think that's not true, but it is. It is. It's more true than you think. There are times when you can't. But make it be times when you can't and not times when you won't. Okay? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the word that you've given me to give to these people, God, that you would just take it and work it through their spirits. If I said anything that was offensive, God, forgive me. And God, please put in their heart to forgive me. But Lord, I pray, if for some reason it did something inside of them, convinced them that maybe that was you convicting them, not me condemning them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.